peace to us all as we gather for this feast of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I stumbled upon this artwork this week as I was thinking about the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It's by an artist, I'm going to butcher this name, I'm sure, present-day artist, Milan Lichkov, from Sofia, Bulgaria. It's called a tinted dry point. That's the style of art that it's made in, which means the artist actually carves lines into the media, kind of like engraving, and then tinting is added for effect. Lichkov says about his own work, "Christ is ready to nourish and care for everyone. Just as he made his way to us, we must overcome our pride and make our way to him." Jesus is at the center, distributing bread to each as the people come. Disciples help in the distribution, a nod perhaps toward the church as the extension of Christ's incarnation, Christ coming to the world in flesh and blood, now Christ in our flesh and blood, helping, assisting, doing the work of Christ. The people are eating in groups. Could this also be a foreshadowing of churches as small groups gathered around the bread of life? In the painting or in the artwork, they exist near and far, extending, it seems, to the ends of the earth. After all, the trees that shelter these grateful little bands of people should not exist in the same scene. Palm trees of the desert and seacoast and evergreens of the mountains in the distance envelop the lands near and far to which Jesus' generosity extends. Some people stay and sit in groups, but others are walking away from Jesus. Not all who receive Christ's gift stay or interact. Some move on in their way. Life is busy, and there is much to do. Still, they are blessed. The mother here with her child is interesting. She has no hands free to hold the bread or fish. Such is the situation of so many moms and dads and others, all who bear the responsibilities of the world. Maybe she had to quickly scarf down the meal. Maybe she wasn't able to have any bread or fish at all. Is she in despair that she doesn't have Jesus' food? Or is it a call for us to be sure that we share with those who need an extra hand? This little group almost looks like they're celebrating Holy Communion. Now, in John, there is no Last Supper. In the Gospel of John, Jesus doesn't gather his disciples at the end and distribute the bread and the cup. Rather, Jesus washes the disciples' feet on that last night together. But here, Jesus almost mimics a Eucharistic meal. Here in this feeding of the multitudes, Jesus lifts the bread, gives thanks, and gives it to the people. Later in John, Jesus will speak of those who follow him as those who eat his flesh and drink his blood. It's kind of disgusting if you don't know the symbolism of imitating Christ or becoming little Christs in order to embody the love of God that Jesus enacts through washing their feet. For John, Jesus' whole life is the sacrifice meant to free us and to allow us to live out God's purpose for us in the world. Because the line indeed stretches into eternity, it seems. This is not the feeding of a mere 5,000, but the feeding of all of God's creation. A recreation of the Garden of Eden, even, where God provided lavishly and longs to do so again, if only we could be willing. There's this little group in the back. It's hard to tell, but it seems like they haven't anything to eat. Now, maybe they're being polite and waiting for others to go first. Or maybe they've already finished and are enjoying that across-the-table conversation that my grandmother always loved the most. Or maybe they've chosen to sit this one out. They could be opposed to Jesus and his generous ways. We know that there were and are people like that. Maybe they just have their own priorities, which may not necessarily negatively affect Jesus, but contributes to God's plan for goodness in ways that we don't even know about. Either way, their presence in the scene seems to indicate that Jesus cares for those sheep too. In the sky overhead, we see the true source of the blessing. The bread of heaven borne on angels' wings. The disciples, of course, scoff at the idea that this many people can be fed with the meager rations that are present. Once again, however, we're reminded that the bread will feed these people and continuously feed countless others to come. The bread, in fact, is himself the bread of life, the one who breaks the bread and shares it. Perhaps that's why when Jesus senses that the crowd wishes to make him king, he slips away, for he knows that he's not meant to be king, but rather the very crumbs that fall from the king's table. Those crumbs are as good as the loaves, though, for abundance abounds, as we see baskets of bread and fish scattered around the people. In fact, there's even a dog that perhaps will be able to fill his own belly, crumbs, loaves, whatever, with the goodness of the Lord. Finally, there's this one in the middle, eagerly receiving bread from Jesus. I can't help but think that this one is meant to represent all of us. All of us who long to stretch out our hands and receive the goodness of the Lord. Jesus longs to give it. But so often we become distracted. We chase after everything that promises to feed us, fulfill us, make us into the people we think we want to be. But God in Christ is eager to feed the world with every good thing. You know, art, like life, can be complicated, detailed, and filled with hidden images. And often we are those people eager to receive something, anything from God. Perhaps that's why the author of Ephesians has these words to share. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen.